Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 467, entitled Exploring Goose Commerce, a new Elementor-based AI e-commerce solution. It was published on Thursday the 7th of May, 2026. And a few bits of housekeeping just before we begin our chat with the founder of Goose Commerce. The things that I want to add are simply this. If you like what we do, head to our subscribe page to keep updated. That's wpbuilds.com/subscribe. There's things like our X channel, Blue Sky, Mastodon, YouTube, and you can subscribe there to our email list as well. And we'll send you two emails a week, one about this, the podcast, and one when we wrap up and edit the This Week in WordPress show. That show goes out live 2 p.m. on a Monday. That's 2 p.m. UK time. Join us, wpbuilds.com/live. Join the comments. There's usually quite a few people joining in there live, and it would be lovely to have your opinion on the previous week's WordPress news. The only other thing to mention is that if you like WP Builds and you want to keep the lights on, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more about how we can promote you, your product, or your service in an increasingly difficult to be discovered era in the WordPress landscape. Once more, wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more about our sponsorship options. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am chatting with Giles Beckley. Giles is a codable expert. He's been working with WordPress for many years, but he's launching a new e-commerce solution specifically designed for Elementor users into the WordPress space. It's called Goose Commerce. And today we get into Giles's background, what he's been doing in the past, why he thought Goose Commerce was necessary, what makes it unique. And I think the big standout is that there is a desktop app which goes with the plugin so that you can actually modify pretty much everything inside of your store inside of a desktop app. So it's a little bit snappier. So you can amend orders and amend stock. We talk about the customization option and, for want of a better word, widgets, which are available. We talk about the different features which the platform has as a whole. The infrastructure and technical details also come under the purview of this podcast, as well as what's going to happen in the future, the roadmap, the pricing right now, and of course, how AI integrates with Goose Commerce. It's all coming up next, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Giles Beckley. Hello, Giles.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, great. Giles sounds like he's down the road from me because he's got a British accent, but he's not, because he lives on the other side of the enormously wide English channel over there in France. And we're going to be talking today about a product that he's got. I think probably the majority of people who are Elementor fans or have dabbled with Elementor in the past, you probably will be pricking up your ears during this episode, because Giles has got something in the e-commerce space specifically built around Elementor, which is quite interesting. It's well, we'll get onto it in a minute. Do you mind just giving us your little potted bio? Just tell us how it is that you've come to build with WordPress and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. I've been building websites for a long time. And came into e-commerce in the early 2000s. So 2002, 2003.
Back when it was really hard.
Yeah, yes. And people held on to APIs and wouldn't release them unless you were some big client somewhere. It was really quite interesting. And then that led to one thing, led on to another. Then I started working with an agency in West Yorkshire, and all their clients used WordPress. I'd never used it before. I'd always fought shy of it a little bit. And I really didn't appreciate it, but had to do it because that's what you have to do. And from there, a lot of them were e-commerce, so I moved into the general Woo stuff and doing all that. And then a few years ago, I moved to France and started freelancing. And you'll find me still on the Codable platform, freelancing there. So that's basically my background.
Okay. Do you is Codable kind of like your full time job then, if you like? Is that the kind of thing that you do 9 to 5, and then obviously you have other irons in the fire as well?
Kind of. It's very much project based for me with them. So we'd get a big client in, I'd work on that, then move on to something else. And as you can probably tell, I'm not a new person here, so I'm trying to take it a little bit easier.
Both have grey hair, let's put it that
yes.
way.
So it's just basically, if a nice interesting job comes up, I'll pitch for it, and if I get it, that's great, we'll do that. I've got one or two retainers or standing orders on various clients, so I just have that regular work in the background as well.
Right.
I still work with the agency in the UK I was working with for a while. So all sorts of bits and pieces, just, you know, various different ways of income. But I would suggest, I think probably my major form of income is probably still the Codable platform.
Okay. Right. Okay. Which is very much aligned with WordPress. And if you don't know Codable, you should check it out, actually, especially if you have development chops and are looking for work, because it's a really credible way of getting work. However, the barrier to entry, if you like, to be a developer on that platform, my understanding at least anyway, is it's fairly high. You have to do a lot of work in order to be accredited and be given work through that platform. Yep. So, yeah.
And they're very strict about how you behave whilst you were on the platform as well.
Mm.
And if you don't meet the requirements that they want of you, you're asked to leave.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. You know, they've got a business to maintain, and to me, it seems like if you're a credible business, you go to Codable. You know, it's not like a little tin pot, I need a brochure website. This is more, I need something very, very sophisticated, and I need it done by competent people who've got an audit paper trail to prove that they did it correctly and so on and so forth.
And you think any of the big names in the WordPress space, they will be hiring Codable experts.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We've had various conversations actually at various times, including with people like you who have talked to me about Codable. However, that's not really the point of this podcast, because although you can't see it, behind Giles is a lovely logo. He's obviously got some stuff like a board behind him. It says WP Goose, like the animal. In fact, one of the letters actually contains the animal, the goose in question. I'm going to ask people listening to this podcast, if you're driving a car, ignore this. But if you're at a desktop or you're near a mobile phone or something like that, perhaps pause. Go to wpgoose.com. So that's WPGOOSE.com, no hyphens or anything like that. Go and check it out, and you'll get yourself an understanding of what it is that we're talking about today. I will butcher it if I try to explain what you've built. So I'm going to hand it over. You've given us your personal bio. Now give us the WP Goose bio. What have you built?
Well, Goose Commerce is a WordPress e-commerce plugin which is built natively for Elementor. It uses a custom database structure rather than custom post types. So it doesn't slow down the rest of your site, and AI is basically baked in from day one, not bolted on. A lot of people have AI bolted. Oh, we've got to AI, let's bolt it on. And there's also a desktop app for running your whole store from outside the WordPress ecosystem. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay. That gives us the broadest outline of what it is. So the constraints are WordPress, Elementor, but you've obviously got some sort of bells and whistles which make it stand out from the crowd, because, you know, we can do things with WooCommerce and various other different platforms, but you've obviously got some unique stuff in there. First of all, can I drill into the desktop bit? Can we go for the desktop bit first? Because you sort of buried that right at the end in the show notes that you provided to me. You buried that in right at the end, almost in the last sentence, and that kind of caught me. I thought, wait, what? Why do you need a desktop app? What does it bring to the equation that an e-commerce site owner might find useful?
A huge amount.
Interesting.
It's one of the things that's missing from WooCommerce. If you've got an accountant and all the accountant wants to do is get his daily journals to put through all his facts and figures. He doesn't want to be logging into a website. It's unnecessary. You're creating extra admins on your WordPress site, giving you all the implied security risks that there are with that, with having too many WordPress admins. So you can do that. You can then also have people who are not experienced within the WordPress ecosystem. You can have just give them the desktop app and just show them to go in there. They can. It's got all the connections to the desktop, to the WordPress install. So you can see all your products. You can see all your orders. You can see all your customers. You can create discounts if you want to use discounts. You can do all sorts of bits and pieces. You can see what your latest orders are, what's going on within the thing. And this is all set up using proper keys. So this is all secure. There's nothing open on this at all. And that's all controlled within the back end of Goose Commerce. So you can go in and you can delete the key. So whoever has that key on their desktop, the app stops running. So, and then you're not exposing or giving your WordPress site any exposure to the possibility of somebody going in and altering stuff they shouldn't want to do, because it's very easy once you're in the back end with admin rights to create mayhem if you want to.
Right, yeah, that's right. So it's not just like a PWA wrapper for the website.
Oh, no.
It sounds to me like it's APIs going backwards and forwards, sort of consuming data in the way that you've configured, like, let's say, data for the accountant or data
yes.
for the, I don't know, the shop assistant or data for the person who's in charge of the Christmas coupon codes or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay. It's also got a built-in AI assistant, and you buy a separate license for that if you want to use it. And then you can tell that to do things like, I don't know, reduce all of my electronic goods by 10%.
Yeah,
and it will just go in and do it for you.
Yeah. So the intention of the desktop app then, I suppose, is to insulate people from WordPress, which with the best will in the world, you know, it can be a bit sluggish. It's not everybody's cup of tea in terms of the UI. Is there a sort of speed benefit by having the desktop app open? Do things feel a bit more snappy, or is it just more straightforward to get into the bits of data that you need to be accessing?
There's far less extraneous information.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you're just focusing in on the e-commerce part of it.
Right.
So you're not seeing a menu with 55 different items on it and not sure where to click and do I need to click through here and do I need to click through there. You are just basically getting directly to what you want to get to. If you're only there to do Goose stuff, you don't need to go into anything else. So why not just use something that actually goes straight in there and you're not stuck with a huge menu that you want to have a look at, you know?
Yeah.
You don't know where to go for.
The way you described it, or at least the way I interpreted what you described, was that you do a subset of things in the desktop app, but then it occurs to me, actually, maybe you can do the entirety of everything in this desktop app as well. In other words, once I've got the initial setup done, and we can talk about that in a moment. So I've got Goose Commerce set up. I've configured everything the way I want. Would it be possible for me as a store owner to do everything in the desktop app, or do I need to periodically go back and, sync
that
things?
Design.
Or? Yeah, okay.
Oh, because you have a sync button within the Commerce app. So even if you had it open for 10 or 15 minutes, you can resync. So you can just check if any other new orders have come through. You can have a look at all of the orders. You can change the order status. You can make sure it's all gone through correctly.
Right.
If you've got any products that are suddenly causing you any problem, you can go into the products and you can deactivate them. You can reactivate them. You can increase stock. You can do all sorts of things. So there's also the possibility here of saying, talking to the AI assistant if you've got that enabled, and saying, here's a CSV of all the products that need updating with stock. Go ahead and do it.
We live in a strange world, don't we? We'll get into the AI bit in a minute. But it was curious to me that you smuggled that in at the end of your description. And yet, to me, that was the most interesting bit.
Yes, and that was slightly deliberate, because we've had this in production and trial for quite a while, and I just wanted to make sure it was stable.
Right.
Before I said anything about it too much.
But do you know what? I kind of think there's something quite satisfying is the wrong word. Reassuring maybe is the right word about opening something in a dedicated app that is the thing. You know, you don't get sort of get lost in different things. I don't know. There's just something, there's a there.
Absolutely. The timeline on this product, we've got quite a lot of things that we're going to be introducing into it. And at the moment, we've got a stable release that does everything that it says. You know, you click all the menu items, they all work, they all do things, they all do updates. But we're looking at making this much more granular so you can actually control via the key that you put in, the MCP, because we're basically using the MCP API keys APIs to work into the back end of it. And we're looking at making it so that you can do some granularity on those keys and only show particular aspects in the front end of the app.
Okay.
So if you're in warehousing, you only see the warehousing bits. If you're in accounting, you only need the, you know, so you don't need to be able to update the orders. You don't need to be able to do any of that whilst you're in warehousing.
Yeah.
But that's down the road. At the moment, it does everything.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. Anyway, bravo for that. I think that's a really interesting UVP that you've got there. The other thing to mention, and we didn't so far, it occurs to me that people listening to this may be thinking that you've actually built this on top of, I don't know, another thing like WooCommerce maybe springs to mind. That is, of course, not the case, I don't think.
Absolutely not.
Okay, tell us why you're so defiant, it sounded like there. Why are you...
The challenge with it is WooStandard has been the standard, and there's really been nothing good enough to displace it. But it was built in a different era. When themes were all it was all built around themes, and you had themes to do this and themes to do that, and it was out there before Elementor became ubiquitous and before AI was a thing. So if you're building today with Elementor, you'll spend lots of time working around WooCommerce assumptions, and you're trying to build out themes. If you work with designers who say, hey, can you build it, make it look like this, good luck with Woo.
Mm.
You know, and Goose has kind of started from where it is now. And I spent many years complaining to all and sundry, probably even my wife, about how frustrated I was with WooCommerce. And it just became a time where it was like, well, put up or shut up.
Right.
And I've actually built something to work the way I want it to work. You know, it's that's why Goose, basically.
Yeah. So the other thing to mention that you just mentioned, that again I feel we didn't like highlight at the top, but important to note at this point, there's a dependency here on Elementor, I think, although I seem to remember seeing the word Gutenberg somewhere, but maybe that was like a short code based thing, I'm not sure. Yes, yeah, so I'll just lead with that. Tell us about the Elementor dependency.
It's built from Elementor from the ground up. I like Elementor. Elementor was a revelation for me when it first came out in the WordPress ecosystem. It actually allowed me to do things that I'd been doing for years. That was a real struggle at the time for doing within WordPress. And there is quite a school that says that Elementor is the reason that WordPress is actually still going now. Covered over a lot of cracks and made things a lot more easily to do. So Elementor is kind of my thing. I like working with Elementor. I like using it. And I wanted to use that because there's a whole structure there that's already pre-built. Why reinvent the wheel on these things? So that was that. Now, I do understand that there are a lot of people who use Gutenberg. And so there are block equivalents of all the widgets
Okay.
that are created within Goose. but it is basically a side dish.
Right.
So they're kind of there as is.
Right.
We check them and make sure they work and they do things. All the other core functionality is behind the scenes. So all of that will work without an issue.
Okay. So Gutenberg is kind of like a second-class citizen, Elementor, first-class citizen, first, you know, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, we designed it to work with Elementor.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting point, though. You made the point about Elementor's growth. This is a fact which, as it was growing, I do a weekly news show in which I just obsess about what's been happening. And for many, many, like, years, every single week, there was an Elementor story, and usually it involved, you know, we've reached our 6 millionth user or 10 millionth or whatever it may be. And I know that during the period in which WordPress's rise felt like it was on some kind of logarithmic curve, a lot of that was to do with page builders, but specifically Elementor. And although it maybe hasn't got the, I don't know, it's not being talked about quite as much as it was in the past. That user base, according to people like Miriam Schwab over at Elementor, that they're still gaining traction. They're gaining users. They're certainly not hemorrhaging users, still a very profitable business. So whilst from the outside, if you're not an Elementor user, it might seem strange to anchor the product to Elementor. If you're in that ecosystem, it is absolutely gigantic.
Yeah. There is a favorite hobby of a lot of people, which is bash page builders, which basically means bash Elementor.
Yeah.
And they shout about it being slow and bloat and all the rest of it. And I just don't experience that.
No.
I can't tell you any other way. I don't want to cast aspersions on the ability of the developers. I've never had a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
So. And there's what, 10.3% of the World Wide Web is now.
Yeah, the web, not 10.3% of the WordPress user base. No. Do you know what? I think it's higher than that. I think it might be in the region of 13, but I stand corrected. Maybe you're
no,
right.
No, I'm happy to take 13.
Yeah, let's go 13. You'll just make up some 10. Numbers. Yeah, there we go. But I think that's about right. So what is it that you can do then that would be different from other e-commerce platforms that we've seen? So I'm guessing the fact that you've got this bound to a page builder is, would it be fair to say that you've sort of atomized parts of the sort of shopping cart process or the shopping process so that you can drop in Elementor elements and build up the way it looks?
Kind of. It's designed, it's basically in the style end of it. It comes with some custom styling, or what I call professional styling. It comes with some styling, but you can turn it off. And it's a switch in the settings. You turn off the styling that it comes with, and it will pick up your site settings.
Oh, okay.
So if you've already styled your forms and your buttons and you have your fonts and you have all the rest of it and all your H1s and text and body things all set up, as soon as you turn off the professional styling, it will pick that up.
So it will look native to whatever it is that you're running at that moment?
Yeah.
Ah, that's interesting. Okay. That's a fairly bold claim. I'm curious to see how that sort of holds up, but you're saying it, so I'm going to assume it's true.
No, I mean, I'm you know, there may be little bits of elements that are
there's
there,
always like a tiny corner somewhere.
Yeah,
isn't
I keep going through it, and I keep going back and re-looking at this because it needs to be styled out of the box with something that's not obnoxious.
Yeah.
So you can actually get it on the page, and then the way it works is you have the professional styling, which you can leave switched on or turn off, whichever you want. And then you can go into the widgets. We've got I'm trying to think how many we've got there now. It's something like 30 different widgets shipped with this product.
Okay.
And every single one of them, the whole idea has been that everything that has been styled can be styled.
Right. Okay. I mean, I suppose that's where you lean into the Elementor interface. You expose those sort of styling options, the padding, the margin, the colors, the borders, the radius, whatever it may be.
The fonts, the typography, desktop look, the mobile view, all of that is all built in. So you can then work with all of those elements to do it. And you can run with the styling that comes with it, or you can run with your own styling, or you can style individual widgets. So it's all in there. So it's all built in. And then there's other things like you've got product grids. You just drop the product grid onto the page, and you've got your product grid. And then you can just, and if it's on, it preloads 6 or 7 pages as soon as you installed it. So you've got your shop page, your cart page, my account page, all the things you'd expect from
right.
That. You can rename them. So if you don't like it saying our products or whatever the lead is, you can rename that to saying, you know, car weekly or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can call it whatever you want, and it just goes, okay, fine, that's what it is. And once you drag that onto the page, you can then drag a filter on.
Okay.
And
which
then
kind of binds to the aforementioned
yeah.
grid. Okay.
And if there's only one there, and if you want to have 2 or 3 grids on the page and 2 or 3 filters, each one filtering a different grid, that's fine. You can do that.
Okay. Are the widgets sort of customizable? So I'm imagining a scenario where, from what you've described, you drop in a widget and it's designed to achieve a certain thing. So here's a grid, you add in the filtering, and then the filtering will filter the grid and so on. Is it possible to be more granular than that? In other words, can you, I don't know, swap the grid out from being 9 product images to 3 product images or 2 product yes. images or whatever it may be? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So you go in there, you can, if you've got a grid of things, you can say, okay, I want to show 12 products per page, and you can have it tabulated with the page tab on there, so it will flip between
right.
pages.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have 3 abreast or 4 abreast, or I want to have 1. I want to have the gallery there, and I want to have the button, the other images for the gallery on the left hand or right hand side vertically. So you can click down. I actually want it back onto the bottom, and then you can go in there. You can do that. And if you've got the cards on the page with the product itself, you can drag and drop every element into a different position. So if you want the image at the bottom, you drag the image down to the bottom. If you want the title at the top, you know. So it's all flexible. It's all in there. The whole idea is it's meant to be able to allow design.
Yeah, customize it to your own needs.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing that it will in some way interact with other components on page, things like page headers with, I don't know, the shopping carts will get updated if you were to click on a buy now button on a product page.
Yep.
All of that is taken
cart,
care of as
well.
You've
got a mini cart to go into your things. If you want to enable it, you've got wish lists, so you can generate wish lists. And if you're logged in as a user, you can have multiple wish lists. And as the controller, you can control how many wish lists people have, so they don't end up with 500 bloating your database. You can just say, only have 4. Sorry, that's your limit. We've got comparison tools. We've got comment tools. We've got all these sorts of things are all built into it to allow you to build a store that you want. And then there's also the other big thing I've always struggled with WooCommerce is if you want to add extra things into the order flow. So, but there's 3-4 points you can add extra fields into the form within the checkout itself, and that doesn't have to be one item. You can put a group of items in. So if you want to add in something like you've got to tell us what your tax number is, or you've got to tell us this bit of information before we can ship it, you can have all those fields added in and it will be added to your orders
as it comes interesting. Through. Yeah, I'm going to, at this point, again, ask people to pause. Probably the best place to go to get an idea of the feature set is to go to the / features page, so wpgoose.com/features, and just in case you're nowhere near a computer, I'll just list out the things that I can see. Product catalog, smart cart and checkout, dynamic pricing, product gallery, AI store management, Elementor native, we mentioned that, product management, order processing, customer management, payments and shipping and tax, marketing and promotions, and store dashboard. And each of those gets its own dedicated page where you can drill deeper. So there are 12 features currently, caveat emptor. It might be the case that there's more at some point in the future. So it sounds like a lot of this is happening on the front end. Sorry, the back end, which Elementor tries to mimic the front end thereof. So you're in the Elementor editor, you're dropping in the elements, dropping in the widgets and what have you. Presumably there's a bit of back end going on where you're going to a familiar sort of WordPress interface, or maybe you've got a WP Goose kind of UI skinned over the top of that or something, so that you can set up the desktop app and things like that and set your shipping rates and all of that. I guess all of that absolutely. Normal stuff is there. Yeah,
absolutely. Let me, the viewers aren't going to see this. I'll share the back end.
That's right.
I'll share the back end of this for you. And then we could, you might be able to talk about it a bit more. And then you'll be able to see this. Let's have a skip this in.
Yeah, I got it. I can see it.
So this is Goose Commerce and the dashboard. So you have a standard dashboard. So you've got on there, you can see what revenue you've done, how many orders you've got, products, etc., warnings. If you go into the settings section.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I was talking about. So, dear listener, the usual smorgasbord of different things that you need to set up, a date, checkout, units, payment, subscription. Oh, subscription's interesting. That's all in there as well, is it? Gosh, you've thought of everything.
Well, I've tried to, because, you know, one of the things I've had real problems with is trying to do things in other programs. I don't want to talk disparate.
Yeah, I get it. You don't want to dish the dirt on other things.
No, but I've done things where you've installed plugins and you've done this, and all of a sudden things don't work because they're not connected natively. It's not all part of the same ecosystem. Somebody's done an update and hasn't told somebody else and it stopped working. You know, we've all had cases. I recently had a case where one of my clients had to go into their store every morning and check all the prices hadn't been set to zero.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
It's just minor things.
Yeah, that's quite a thing. So we're looking at the back end. And again, dear listener, everything you'd expect, really, you know. Curiously, memory, sir, if I'm remembering this correctly, how do you actually handle this data? Where are you putting it? Because in most cases, I think it's handled as, you know, meta within a custom post type or something like that. How are you parsing
all
this?
I steer away as far as possible from custom post types.
Tell me why. Why were you, what's that intuition all about?
Bloat.
And right, because interesting.
I think this actually causes a lot of the problems, and it's not, you can't normalize, you can't denormalize data properly. So when you've got things, because it's sort of little minor things like GDPR, right to be forgotten, it's pretty easy with this because it's denormalized data. So you just press a button and it just keeps all the data it has to keep, and the rest of it just gets forgotten.
So it's a bunch of separate Goose tables, is it, in the database?
Absolutely.
So they're completely isolated from posts and pages and
things. This means you've got optimization on them, you can do indexing on them, you're not fighting other data, you are just looking at just what's going on here.
Okay.
You haven't got the problem when you get to a large number of products, when you start getting a few thousand products on there, you haven't got the issue that it's actually slowing down other pages as well, because that's all in the post table. And you're not having to filter it all out. So you get some really good speed improvements on it as well on the front end. Because it's all just there. It is all just doing what it should be doing. You're not trying to force data into a format that it shouldn't be forced into.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah. So again, everything is held within a sort of custom table and what have you. And at the moment, I'm being shown the sort of UI, so all of the different menu items that you can get, premium components, and so on and so forth. We haven't got time to get into all of that, but I'll definitely get into just before we sort of wrap it up. We're kind of approaching the half hour mark, which is about what we want. Just a couple of questions about the maturity of the product at this point and what your goals are in the future. So from everything that you said, it sounds like you are at an early release stage of this. Have you got kind of paying customers at this point, or are you pre kind of beta or alpha stage? Where are you at?
We're kind of at the soft launch point right now.
Okay.
The plugins in production on real shops at the moment.
Okay.
The desktops at version 1.1, as you've seen, most of the docs are built out, and I'm onboarding some early users and just refining the Elementor integration based on what they actually need.
Okay.
So it's not hypothetical. It's running. It's up there. It's doing things. I was hoping to be able to say, hey, go and have a look at this site because this is running live today. But the onboarding's taking a little bit longer.
No, that's okay.
Clients are being slow.
That's one of the fun things about doing this podcast is you get to speak to people like you who are just getting their toes in the water and trying to figure out what this product looks like. So basically, if you join the product at the moment, you've probably got the capacity to exercise, well, control is the wrong word, but, you know, communicate with you about the sort of roadmap and the features and what have you. This time is probably the best time to get in, if that's your intuition anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're at the point now where we're basically talking founder, aren't we? That's where we're at. And that's reflected in the pricing.
Yeah.
So at the moment, there's a free tier, and that is completely free. There's two free tiers, but if there's free and you register, you'll get a code for the app, and that will allow you to enable any of the premium components. So you can enable them, you can play with it, you can try them out, you can see whether it wants to do it. And if you want to run with that, it will allow you to have three of your choice running consecutively.
Right. So three, when you say three, you mean three of your premium components, the bits and pieces, the secret sauce.
All the core features are going to be there. All the product grids, the filters, the product tables, all of that sort of stuff. All of the stuff you need to build a store is going to be there. All the back-end stuff's going to be there. All the emails, all the transactional emails, all of that will all be there. But it's just things like payment gateways.
Right.
So at the moment, we've got Stripe and PayPal. If you want to do discounts and vouchers, that's another one. If you want to do holiday advance shipping and stuff like that, product carousels, there's a whole load of more advanced stuff that's just there. So you can choose any three of those that works for you.
Right.
So if all you're doing is a catalog site and you don't need a payment gateway, then you don't need to enable it, and you can just enable three other things. So you might actually want to have the attributes. The attributes are incredibly powerful, and we haven't got time to go through it all, but it allows you to put custom attributes onto a product and group those products. So every time you generate it, you can put the same group of attributes into that particular product in the order that you want them. So there's all sorts of things in there that need to be checked out. And then there's the 79 euro. It's all euros rather than pounds. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I've only just spotted that. That's right. Yeah, it is all euros.
So it's slightly cheaper for people in the UK. It's not. It's just the currency conversion. But
it's interesting as well. It's not dollars. It's always dollars. No, but no, it's always not. Dollars. That's great.
No, again, we're slightly Eurocentric on a lot of this as well. And that, again, is deliberate because there is a move at the moment because of the current political shenanigans that are going on for people looking at things that are not offshored in America.
Anyway, to recap then, the free tier, you get three of the premium components. And so it's things like digital downloads, custom fields, discounts, vouchers. Basically, if you imagine a shopping cart solution, all of the different bits that you can download as additional plugins or whatever, you can pick three of those. And there's absolutely loads of them. I'm seeing on the screen here, custom attributes, product barcodes, product documents, product reviews and ratings, quick view, wish list, recently viewed. You get the idea. All of the, go to amazon.com and look around at all the things that you can do over on that. This is kind of atomized out into these different premium components. You get three of those for free and one site. But then if you stomp up, this is a great deal. 79 euros, which I guess is about $79 or something like that. You know, it's around that.
Yeah, no? It's around that. It's around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like $400 or anything like that.
No.
You get access to every single one of those components, all of the premium components, for one site. So you have access to everything.
And that's a yearly fee.
An annual, I should have said.
Annual fee, yeah.
Yeah. And then if you fancy the smorgasbord, the whole thing, $249 will get you the same deal, only the site license has increased up to five. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just mainly because I've worked with people who, when they're running one shop, often run several shops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a way of just saying, okay, if you want to convert all your shops to this, do that.
I'm guessing, I could be putting the cart before the horse a little bit here, but I'm guessing that pricing is not going to stay that way.
This is basically half price, and I'll be updating the prices to show that. Okay. So it's going to be roughly 150, 160 euros for the license.
Okay.
And then 500 for the five license.
Yeah. So caveat emptor, if you're listening to this in the year 2027, don't complain to me that you know, the pricing isn't what we just said. Probably won't be unless you get in quickly. So I'll
this is going to be reflected. It will be saying it on the site soon. Yeah. And I think what we're trying to do at the moment is basically go for, okay, we've got a fully launched product for WordCamp Europe.
Oh, okay. I'll see you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Krakow as being like, this is where we're getting in. This is early adopters. This is founders time. This is people who want to get behind something and say, yeah, I was there from the beginning.
Right. Okay.
And here's my price to prove it.
Yeah. So we will definitely have this episode out before then. One thing that we never touched on, it's remiss of me really not to sort of dig deeper into it, but is the whole AI side of things. Sure. Now, can we just go into that? Like, what is the interface like? I am used to, in an e-commerce platform, point, click, type, save, publish, all of those kind of things. We're definitely moving into a paradigm where it's more type sentences and then click return and watch things update miraculously around you. Is it more like that? Is the intention of your platform
we've
to be
got
more
here
speak
is we've
to
got
it?
A model context protocol setting. So we've got a model context protocol built in from the day one. So that's there at the bottom. So you've got endpoints and things like that for your Claude desktop or Gemini or whatever. And you just basically give you generate a key for it. You stick a name in, you generate the key, set an expiration date, and that key is then shown on screen for you and only for a short period of time. And then you take that key and you put it in as an MCP endpoint into Claude or your Gemini or whatever, and then you can interact with everything on the back end of your site, very much like the desktop does.
Yeah, okay.
But through your favorite Claude or Gemini or whatever interface.
There's some bit of me which is a bit wary about AI when it comes to e-commerce, simply because if it's a normal website and I do some amendment, that's like, there's basically no consequences to that other than I've messed something up and then I need to go back and amend things. I guess I'm asking you to speak to how confident you are that if you do things by, you know, just typing a command, a prompt, that you've got guardrails built in that will make sure that things are carried out correctly, or at least that nothing disastrous is going to happen. Like, oh, don't charge anybody shipping. Oh, you know, that kind of thing.
I can't speak for how you put your prompts into your version of Claude.
That's the kind of thing I do.
Yeah. But if you use something like the desktop with the AI enabled, and you do it in that, it will always come back and say, these are the products I found. Are you sure you want to update them?
Right. Okay. That's nice. Yeah. So it's caveat emptor, really, at that point. Yeah. You're on your, yeah. If you messed it up at that point, then it's up to you. So is the whole thing available? Like, have you basically tried to make this an AI first platform? Is there an awful lot that you can do? Or is it like constrained to certain parts of the e-commerce?
Every part of it, wherever possible, is accessible by AI.
Wow.
That is deliberate from day one. That was one of the points of doing it. Simply because then it makes it easier for the users and people within the users' businesses to use it, because they can speak English or they can write German.
Yes.
And if they can say, can you do, yes, is this what you meant? And they can have a look at it and go, yes. They haven't got to say, well, if you're going to update your everything with those things, you're going to have to sort all your products by categories. And then you're going to have to go into the product and have a look at it And once you've got the product there, you're then going to have to go into this field here and increase the price. But it's just like, eh?
That's, yeah, those days that's are behind that us.
AI
now, aren't
they? Should be doing for yeah. us. You know, you should just be able to just go in there and have a look at it. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in that case, I think we probably will wrap it up there because the intention of this podcast really is to alert the users to the fact that there is a new kid on the block in the e-commerce space. Yeah. So what I would say is just one more time, if you want to go to the URL, wpgoose.com, go check it out. Are you open for sort of like getting into chats with people, even if they haven't purchased anything? And if so, where do you sort of tend to hang out online, email address or Twitter handle or whatever it may be?
There's a support email on the website. Hit me up in that and I'll get back to you.
All righty.
And hopefully I'll get instances of people doing it. But if I do,
yeah,
bear with me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Can you all agree? Just one or two get in touch with Giles at this point.
If we get hundreds, then they'll just have to wait.
So. Yeah, well, that's how life goes, right? And you've got other work to kind of figure around as well. So go and check it out. Hopefully this has inspired you to at least do that, dear listener. WPGoose.com, new e-commerce platform specifically built around AI as well as Elementor. We will see you over in Krakow in a few weeks.
Yeah, catch up with me then, see how it's going, get the latest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Hopefully you'll be inundated by people following you around desperately trying to catch your attention.
Or
Giles, thank you so much for chatting to me today.
No, it's great. Thank you.
Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I hope that you enjoyed it. Head to wpbuilds.com and leave us a comment there. One last reminder, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe if you would like to keep updated, /advertise if you would like to get your product or service in front of a WordPress-specific audience. And that is about it. We'll wrap up with the fading in of some cheesy music. And I'll say, stay safe. You have a good week. Bye-bye for now.